Against the Grain is preempted today. It'll be back at its regular time next week. For the next hour, we will be talking about the upcoming KPFA local station board elections with Pacifica's National Elections Supervisor, Casey Peters. We'll be talking about how you can run and vote in those elections, and then we'll be taking your phone calls after these news headlines with Mark Maracle. And Against the Grain will be back at its regular time next week. This is a special preemption, a program about this fall's upcoming local station board elections. I am Brian Edwards-Tiekert, a staff elected representative on KPFA's local station board and also the board's elected treasurer. With me in KPFA studios is Sasha Futron, who is a listener-elected representative on the local station board. She is just concluding her first year of service. Welcome, Sasha.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. And I would also mention that I am co-chair of the General Manager Search Committee.
And the man of the hour, the main personality behind today's show, is with us on the phone. He is Casey Peters, the National Election Supervisor for the Pacifica Network. He is overseeing simultaneous local station board elections at the five different stations Pacifica owns: KPFA here in Berkeley, KPFK in Los Angeles, WPFW in Washington, D.C., KPFT in Houston, and WBAI in New York. Welcome, Casey Peters.
Well, thank you, and hello all out there in Radio Land. It's very exciting to be part of the Pacifica Foundation and the stations that bring us so much information that you can't find anywhere else, both news and public affairs, and the kind of music and cultural programming you get that's so unique to the Pacifica mission. We have recently opened up our governance process to include our listener sponsors and volunteers in the process of running our network. And you won't find any other media outlet that is as open about what's going on in the inner workings of the network as Pacifica does. We invite all of you to become listener sponsors so that you can vote and participate in the upcoming election. The deadline for that is August 31st. In order to be a member and a voting member of KPFA, you need to have given at least $25 to the station in the past year or have done at least 3 hours of volunteer work at the station. So that's from September 1st of 2006 up until August 31st of this year. That's next week is your deadline for making sure you get your money into the station or your hours worked as a volunteer so that you can become a voting member. And as a voting member, you also have the right to actually run to be a member of the board.
And Casey, we should tell the people listening that the easiest way to give before that deadline is up is to go to kpfa.org, where we still have a very prominent donate link from our summer fund drive and where you can still choose from a few of the more popular thank you gifts that we offered during that fund drive.
That's right, and you can also find more information about the election process right there with a link on the front page of the kpfa.org website. Now, if you're interested in becoming a member of the board, it is a big commitment, and I believe that Sasha and Brian would like to share some of their experiences and let you know a little bit about how the board works and what board members are expected to do, time-wise and commitment-wise. So would either of you like to chime in and talk about your experience on the board?
Sure. This is Sasha. It's very interesting, actually, when it isn't giving you a colossal headache. But seriously, I'm somebody who has worked in the media for many, many years and worked as a media activist because I was very alarmed at corporate media takeover and the fact that we couldn't get news and information of importance to us. And that's part of the reason why I'm involved, because I think something like KPFA and Pacifica are really, really important to everyone. There are so few places where we can get news and information. So while it does sometimes give me a headache, I hope it's a worthwhile headache. The board meets once a month, generally. The meetings are pretty long, 6 hours, with maybe a half hour break. A lot of work is done in committees, and there are a number of different committees. I am currently on the search committee for a new station manager here, a new general manager of KPFA. It's a position I co-chair. We meet every other week. I must say that while the board meetings sometimes give me a headache, the search committee has been quite productive and a lot of fun. I don't think it's any secret that some of us come from different sides of the aisle, so to speak, and have there have been some contentions in the past, and I do think that actually the board is getting to be less contentious, and we are on different sides of the aisle on this search committee, but we have an awful lot of fun and laugh a lot, don't we, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, I would say the biggest challenge to KPFA's local station board has been finding that kind of ground where people can disagree and still be civil to each other. And I think we've made progress in the 3 years that I've been on the board. The meetings have certainly gotten calmer. They've gotten more productive. The disagreements haven't gone away, but the relationships between the board members, I think, are better. We do ask board members to also work on at least one national board committee. Local board members get appointed to national board committees, which meet generally about once a month by telephone conference call. So it's a little bit easier to finagle. You don't have to drive anywhere to get where you need to be to meet. And the thing is, the longer you stay involved with the board, the more you start caring about the board's work or the station, you may voluntarily take on a lot more. For instance, you might, as I did, run for one of the officer positions on the board. I'm currently the treasurer. You might take on more committee work. You might decide to move on to become a national board member. They're elected from among the ranks of the local station boards. But as a starter, that's the commitment. It's generally a meeting once a month, 5 to 6 hours, as Sasha said, and a little committee work on the side.
And I must say, this is Casey Peters, your national election supervisor, that I have been an ex officio member of the national board's elections committee. And yes, we meet by conference call, and the people involved are very thoughtful, and they are civil, and yes, they do have disagreements, but they, through time, generally can work out the disagreements and come to a general agreement about many issues. One of those issues will probably be coming up on the ballot along with the candidates that you can vote for local station board, and that is the question of adopting bylaws amendments to change the election timeline. Right now, these elections are held 2 out of every 3 years, and it's done in the autumn. And so what that means is that in even-numbered years, local station board elections are competing for attention with the national congressional elections and gubernatorial elections. And in order to correct that situation, there are some timeline proposals and term length and term limit proposals that will be probably put before the voting membership of Pacifica in the upcoming elections.
As someone who ran last year, I can say that running in the time frame when elections were going on had its difficulties just in terms of airtime on KPFA, because that was dedicated more to elections and other things, and we're actually in the middle of a fund drive during the heart of our election season. So there was there was a point where there was very little information going out to the public about the fact that there was a KPFA election and who the candidates were. On the other hand, in a sense, you know, if you're campaigning and there are a lot of major events because there's an election going on, there are a lot of places you can go and talk to people and, you know, have people understand what you stand for. So there were a lot of events almost every night of the week, if you wanted to, that you could go someplace and talk to folks who were going to events here in Berkeley, because we are such a politically active community. I'd like to say that I really want to encourage as many, you know, listeners and people who care about KPFA as possible to join in so that you can vote, and then to educate yourself and not make any assumptions about who is running, but educate yourself as to their actual positions. There are some crucial issues actually facing us. We are, you know, one of the few places left where there is such a thing as an elected board, where listeners do have a say in, to some extent, on what goes on the airwaves. And, you know, frankly, I'm a little bit afraid because of some things that are going on that we're going to lose that.
Hmm. Well, Casey, I understand you want to spend the bulk of our time this hour taking calls from our listeners who may have questions about the election, the board, or the process that will be underway this fall. So we should tell those of you listening that the number to call in with your questions or comments on KPFA's local station board elections is 510-848-4425. That is 510-848-4425, and we look forward to your questions and comments. Casey, do you want to talk a little bit about kind of the job description of a board member, not just how many meetings you have to show up for, but what duties you're expected to discharge?
Well, yes. There's a misconception about some people who are interested in running for the board that the main thing is about programming, because after all, it is our programming that attracts people to listen to the Pacifica stations. However, what we're really talking about as a board is the governance of the station. In other words, overseeing the administration. We, as was previously mentioned, have oversight of the general manager and program director and other management people at the station. And that includes a yearly evaluation as well as the ability to hire and fire the managers who work for us. But the biggest challenge to the board probably is drawing up a realistic budget every year and making sure that we do what's necessary to fulfill the requirements of that budget. These are beginning to be tight times, and the donations to public radio and television stations have declined over the last few years, and it's a real challenge to us to be able to keep our finances in such a mode that we can continue to offer not only what we're offering now, but new information and new ways of delivering the information to the people in our listening areas and over the internet.
I just want to jump in and say, you know, I didn't mean to suggest that board members were picking programs. However, they could serve on something like the Program Council, which does have a hand in picking the programs. But certainly as a board member, if everything is functioning properly, I think we are setting, or should be setting, a tone and a message and a direction for the station in terms of what we in general would like to see on the air, what we are about, and so forth, and that not, you know, if it were making a dramatic change, that be a dramatic change that all of us are together discussing and in agreement on. So I just wanted to throw that in, if I may.
Please. And what we're looking for is people who will represent the breadth of communities that are served by the KPFA signal, and that includes you folks in the Fresno area who have some of our programming as well. We're looking for people who are from around the signal area and who represent underrepresented communities. In addition, we are looking for people who can offer particular talents. If you have knowledge of FCC, Federal Communication Regulations, if you know anything about the technical aspects of radio broadcasting, and if you have legal or other administrative knowledge or have served on nonprofit corporation boards, all of these experiences, talents, and information would be very valuable to the board. But you don't need to have that technical expertise at all if you feel that you can represent your community and help to make sure that KPFA provides the kind of services that are best for our community, then your voice is also very welcome on the board.
Well, I want to open this up to our callers. If you're out there, if you're thinking of running for the board, or if you have questions about how the process works, or suggestions about how we at KPFA and Pacifica can get you the best information so that you can make an informed decision when you have to vote this fall, please give us a call at 510-848-4425. Our first caller is GS in Berkeley. Welcome, GS.
Yes, very good. Hello, this is GS. Hello, Casey and everyone, the assorted minions, seen and unseen. I have run for the LSP at KPFK before, and even though my particular pitch was concise and, of course, esoterically, profoundly, transcendently wonderful, I was not elected. Anyway, I would like to run for the LSP this time, and I don't know even how to begin the conversation, but basically I am, like most of us, a very passionate progressive. I do have my strong opinions and such, but I do know how to agree to disagree with others without fighting about things. And my only comment in that department is a quotation from my spiritual teacher who once said, the essence of successful communication is to be direct, truthful, and compassionate all at the same time. Can't just be one, can't just be two, got to be all three at the same time, and communications will flow, things will get done, and nobody will get killed.
That's truthful, compassionate, and what was the other element?
The three words are direct, in other words, succinct, basically. Be direct, don't beat around the bush. Truthful, in other words, you don't lie about stuff. You call it as you truly understand it in your own inner heart. And then compassionate, loving, caring, mutually respectful of everyone present. So direct, truthful, and compassionate all at the same time. Anyway, works for me.
Sounds like words to live by.
I was going to say, sounds like you would make an excellent candidate. So are you up here in Northern California and going to run for our KPFA LSP?
Indeed I am. I'm actually a Berkeley resident, and I live approximately three blocks from KPFA. I can walk there, and, I'll be... not proselytizing, of course, but, campaigning as avidly as I can find people to talk with. And unfortunately for everybody else, I am quite a talker, as Casey will attest.
if somebody is interested in running for the board, we have candidate packets that include a checklist of all the materials that you need to turn in. There's a candidate cover sheet that gives your contact information. We also have a survey from the committees of inclusion. Each local station board has a committee of inclusion, and this is basically a survey that that looks at the demographics of the candidate pool, so that the board will have a better idea where need works to be done as far as outreach. In addition, of course, is the petition. And each person who's running for the listener sponsor seat on the board, and there are nine of those seats up in this election, each candidate needs to collect more than 15 signatures. You need 15 valid signatures, but I would suggest getting twice as many if you can to make sure that the people are all actually listener sponsors and you have enough valid signatures to become a candidate.
Very good.
In addition to that, well, just let me say this, that you need to have a candidate statement is required, that you turn that in by September 25th, which is the deadline for becoming a candidate. You need a candidate statement that will be printed in the ballot pamphlet, and that needs to be 500 words or fewer.
Okay, thank you for that. And just a simple procedural question, then I'll jump offline so other people can get on air. Independent of all of this LSB election matter stuff, even if I am unable, for whatever reason, injury, physical, whatever, or whatever, unable to participate as a candidate for LSB membership, I am interested also in doing a subset of what Casey has done so well for so long. But I don't know, has that position been filled yet, the actual local election supervisor?
We're actually in transition, and unfortunately the person who started the job was not looking for work, but was offered a job by a film company he'd worked for before, and he couldn't turn them down. So Chihiro's leaving us, but we have somebody new stepping in, and I'll make that information public at the appropriate time. That is after the contract has been signed.
If I could jump in for a moment.
Mm-hmm. And I'll listen off the air and welcome the future. Thank you. Bye.
If I could just say, becoming a candidate is really not a very complicated process. It's pretty easy. And I think most of our listeners can handle it. They just need to get in touch with you, with the station quickly to get a candidate's packet. We have another caller on the line.
Well, let me just mention exactly how to do that. You can go to the website, kpfa.org, and there's a link there to the information you need. Or you can email our local election supervisor at votekpfa@gmail.com.
Okay, and before we go to that caller, I just want to say, please do call in. Our number is 510-848-4425. That's 510-848-4425. And please do call in with your questions and comments. And now we'll hear from Pedro in San Francisco.
Yes, hello.
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 Yes, hi. We can hear you. Go ahead.
I went to an LSB meeting the other day, and I was just kind of wondering, why isn't there any Spanish speakers on the LSB itself?
Well, I think there actually are some Spanish speakers on the LSB itself.
I'm talking about native speakers.
Well, Miguel Molina and Rosalinda Montes Palacios would both probably identify themselves as native Spanish speakers. But, I mean, the answer, Pedro, is... the people on the LSB are the folks who run and get elected to be there. The LSB doesn't choose its own composition. It's up to the people listening and the people who work at the station and people of goodwill to run for the seats on the station.
Let me make mention that we do have Spanish language information about how to run for the board. And if you go to the website pacificafoundation.org, and then go to the elections page, you'll see there's links to several pages of information that are in Spanish. And
your meetings in Spanish?
Well, it's up to the local board to provide translations, interpretation. I don't know if...
I'm glad to know that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pedro.
And I would encourage Pedro and others that if they're interested in running, to by all means to run, because this is not an exclusionary process in terms of any groups and so forth in our society. On the contrary, this station is very inclusionary, I think, by, you know, all points of comparison I could think of. And I'd also like to say that I think there are many of us who are on the board who we are progressive people. We may not agree with one another on everything, but we are progressive. And I would like to think that I might have certain issues that are near and dear to my heart, as we all do, but that those of us who are on the board can also understand how all of these issues impact. They are interrelated. We are all interrelated. We are a community, and all of our issues are interrelated, and we need to be representing not just ourselves but other people and their interests as well, and working cooperatively. So just wanted to throw that in.
Sasha, let me just mention that at KPFK in Los Angeles, about a sixth or so, 15 to 20% of the programming is in Spanish language, and that's why we made a particular point of having our election materials available in Spanish. The other stations have some, but not a great deal of Spanish language programming, but we do have a commitment to serving all the communities in our signal areas.
And something worth pointing out to people considering running is that candidates are elected using a proportional representation system, which means you don't need half the people voting to vote for you to get on the board. You actually, as a listener, need just over 10%. And the idea is that it should allow the electorate to separate itself out into various constituencies, so that if there is a minority, but a substantial minority, of people who vote in that election who really are interested in seeing, for instance, a native Spanish speaker elected to the board, and that's a priority for them, they don't have to climb past that 50% threshold to get you on there. It's meant to ensure that we have a diversity of points of view and communities represented on that board. But what you got to do is get it together and run. If you have questions or comments, our number is 510-848-4425, and our next caller is John in San Francisco. Welcome, John.
Oh, hi. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's on your mind?
Well, I love KPFA, and I love the progressive voices, but, you know, and running for the board is interesting. I'm considering it, but there seems to be a lot of infighting and lawsuits, is like, you know, the sexual harassment lawsuit with the old director, Campanella, and the Bernstein thing with this lady saying he's abusive. I mean, it just seems like it's just very dysfunctional, and there's a lot of infighting going on, and I mean, to be a part of that is just kind of...
Well, all organizations have their problems, and a lot of this happens in corporate America, but it's swept under the rug. That the fact that you're hearing about it shows the openness that the Pacifica Foundation offers. And what we need on the board is more people who are disinclined to be involved in faction fights, and people whose real interest is in working together with other board members to advance the Pacifica mission.
And I'd also like to say, as a new board member who's been seated since December, that this year, sometimes, you know, we used to sit completely structured, you know, people from one slate on one side of the board table, people from the other slate on the other side, the board chair in the middle. We sometimes now mix up our seats. We also sometimes vote in surprising ways and come down on different sides on issues. It's not quite as hostile, I think, as it used to be. I think things are definitely improving. I co-chair the General Manager Search Committee with somebody from the opposite side of the aisle from me. This is a committee that has actually was formed just a few months ago, was reformed with a new board, and we're working very quickly and very efficiently together, getting together a nice pool of candidates at the moment, and I think we've had people, Brian and I are both on this committee, and I think we've had people, you know, walking by and poking their heads in and saying, you guys are having too much fun. I mean, we're really getting along quite well. I think we stop and listen to one another, and sometimes somebody points something out you haven't thought about, and we say, oh, you're right. I got to take that into consideration. I changed my mind.
Let me point out that the Pacifica Foundation is just growing out of its infancy in the realm of the democratic representation in governance. And it's a very good sign. It's not just the KPFA board, but other boards where the level of civility is growing and the level of communication and the effectiveness of the boards is also improving.
John, I mean, the question I would ask myself in your position is this a board I can function on? Legal actions don't really hit local station board members. They're dealt with at a different level of the institution. The business we have to do, as Sasha said, we've conducted pretty civilly and pretty efficiently so far this year. Not always as efficiently as civilly, but one out of two ain't bad. And the question is, if you care about KPFA, which it sounds like you do, are you willing to be part of the solution? Because we really need people of goodwill to come forward who have something to contribute to this radio station and can keep their heads about them when passions run high, as they're going to. Because this is a radio station with a lot of history that means a lot of things to a lot of people in a lot of different communities, and a place where people who are very politically passionate are attracted. And the issue is not that we should not have differences. It's not that we should not be passionate. It's that we have to be able to treat each other as human beings and find mutually agreeable solutions as we move forward together. And personally, that's something I really hope to see as we welcome in new board members.
Yeah, the multi-format station, is just, it brings in so many different people with so many different interests that there's naturally going to be some conflict when it comes to the governance process. But there's also the commonality we have, where we, you know, learn so much from listening to programs about things we might not have thought about before. And so I think the Pacifica really brings people together, and we're looking for people who want to, you know, serve on the KPFA board and who want to become members and vote on the KPFA board. Remember, the deadline is August 31st, so get the checks in to the station as soon as you can.
Yes, and you have to be a member in order to be a candidate. So I will encourage folks to sign up now. Also want to give out our number once again. It's 510-848. Hold on a second, please. Our number is 510-848-4425. And I think we have other callers on the line. I'd like to go on to Janet in Oakland. Welcome to KPFA, Janet.
Hello?
Yes,
yeah,
welcome to KPFA.
Thank you. I have a question about the actual voting process and vote counting process. The voting is ranked choice.
That's correct.
And so on the ballots, you put a 1, 2, 3, et cetera, as far as who do you prefer the first, et cetera. But if somebody puts all ones for, like, two of the candidates or six of the candidates and no twos, no three, how does that work? How is that counted, and does that all work?
The votes would be divided. For instance, if you gave a number one choice to two different candidates, then you would be doing a splitting your vote so that each of those candidates got one half of a vote. Because the process is called single transferable vote. So you are casting really one vote. And if you give it to just one person, and that person for some reason is not very popular and is eliminated as a candidate, your entire vote gets transferred to your second choice.
I see.
Now, if the person you vote for, number one, is very popular, and they get twice as many votes as they need, then only half of your vote is used, and the other half of the vote then gets transferred to your second choice.
Okay.
So it's a very democratic system, but it's a little complicated, actually, if you don't have a chalkboard in front of you to show you exactly how it works.
But we actually have a video and an essay explaining that process up at kpfa.org. If you click through to the elections link, we have an explanation of how single transferable vote counting works. It's interesting.
So I'm assuming it's also an electronic system.
Well,
is there any auditing?
Yes, we actually do a hand count of the staff vote at each station, because the staff vote is just a couple of hundred ballots or so. And so it's easy to do the entire process with a couple hundred ballots and show how votes are transferred and all that. And we'll also do a hand count of the first round of votes to see what people's number one votes are for the listener sponsor election, which will be a few thousand votes. And the idea is to show that the computer count is the same as the hand count.
Okay, but then there's also just the way the computer does the calculations for the ranked.
Well, the calculations are based upon the criteria that we put in. For instance, the way we choose a candidate who wins if there's a tie. Let's say there's a tie for the ninth place seat, and only one person can get elected for it. Then the bylaws specifies a random choice. So that has been programmed into the vote choice pro, I think it's called, program.
Choice plus pro.
Choice plus pro program. So that is the program we use for counting our ballots.
And who designed that? Who developed that? Is that in-house or?
Oh, that was a local firm. I believe it was Initiative Computing in the Oakland area.
Janet, basically, also there's a whole lot of people watching all the ballots being fed into the machine, that into the computer crunching numbers. There is an entire audience that stays with it. Some of them all night long and into the next day. Some of us did pop our heads, and I did, to see it. And I think if you look at the video, it might give you a better understanding of it. I know what made it really crystal clear to me was seeing the actual outcomes and how we had a printout at the end of how votes were transferred, each and every one. And then all of a sudden it really did click. And I'm assuming the video would help with that as well.
Yeah.
And mention that hopefully will not be as long a vote count this time. We had a problem with the scanner in the last election where that really was a bottleneck for the vote count. Hopefully it will be a quicker process this time.
Okay.
The other thing, Janet, is that once they've entered all the data that's on those ballots, which are on paper and which don't get tossed out, they're happy to give a copy of that data to anyone who requests it, so you can run the tabulation and the count through your own software if you want to double-check what Pacific is using to make sure that you get the same results.
If you own such software.
Right.
There are some open source softwares available free for download on the Internet for those election geeks out there, and I know there are several of them.
And Brian is correct that the ballots are not thrown out. They're held in archives by the Pacifica Foundation until the period that the vote was for has elapsed.
Janet, does that handle your questions, or did you have any more? I guess that does it for Janet. I'll remind those of you listening, if you want to get in on the conversation about KPFA's upcoming local station board elections, how they work, how you can run, how we can better get you information you need to make an informed choice about the people running for the board, please give us a call at 510-848-4425. Our next caller is Brian in Berkeley. Welcome, Brian.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Hi, Brian. This is a question for Stacey Peters, and I wanted to know if it is correct that with the pending bylaws amendment that candidates will not know in advance whether they are making a 3 or 4 year commitment to serve.
That is correct. If the membership nationally decides that they want to adopt the proposed bylaws, the commitment could be extended from the current 3 years to be a 4 year term. Part of the reason for this is so that we would have elections only in odd-numbered years, and we wouldn't be competing, taking our energies away from working in national elections, and we could focus on Pacifica elections in odd-number years, government election in even-number years. That is not determined yet. We will know in the after the vote count if these bylaws amendments pass. However, people do, from time to time, resign from the boards if their time commitment, health, or other matters interfere with their ability to serve on the board. So one ought not decide not to run for the board just because the term might be extended from 3 years to four.
So the term, let me ask a question about this. So the term would become 4 years instead of three, and people would be able to serve a total of 8 years then if they ran for two terms, because that would be another change in bylaws.
Well, there are three different term limit proposals that also may be on the ballot. One is to have no consecutive terms, which would mean somebody could serve only for 4 years, then sit it out for two, and run again for another 4 years. Another is to have a two-term limit, and that would be the 8 years you're speaking of. And there's yet another proposal to get rid of term limits altogether, so that people could serve in perpetuity if elected over and over again.
Very good. Thank you.
Any other questions you had, Brian? I'll take that as a no. Well, we're waiting for your call at 510-848-4425. I'm Brian Edwards, Teeker, the staff representative on KPFA's local station board, here with Sasha Futron in KPFA studios. She is a listener-elected representative on KPFA's local station board. And with us on the phone, we have Casey Peters, who is the man who has taken on the awesome task of coordinating nationally Pacifica's local station board elections this fall. Casey, how's the job treating you?
Well, it does keep me busy, I'll say. Most of it, of course, is done remotely because I can't be in five places at once. So I have a heck of a lot of email and a lot of conference calls as well. It's a fascinating job, but there are so many aspects to it you wouldn't believe it. Many, many different things you would never think about, like the definition qualification for unpaid staff members, the question of term limits and how the new bylaws amendments might affect the time that somebody could serve. There are a lot of little tweaky details. We have to make sure that information is available at all the stations to all the potential candidates, and that's done by the local election supervisors. And of course, I have to supervise them to make sure they're doing their jobs, because there's a very steep learning curve in being a local election supervisor, and it's very infrequent that we can get somebody to take that role a second time, partly due to the tremendous stress of the job, and also because the job is a temporary one, And therefore, by the time another election cycle comes around, usually the person who had done it previously is no longer available. In addition, I must say that, you know, our network and our stations are really dependent on volunteer work. And while the election supervisor is not a volunteer job, the pay scale is such that it doesn't really fully compensate for the level of work that's required.
Another job that calls for a lot of dedication and commitment to an idea and a concept, it sounds like. And I know there were a lot of controversies last year, and I think there are this year around here in terms of who is and who is not an unpaid staff member and who has the right to decide that. But I hope that doesn't become too controversial. Anyway, we have some other callers on the line. I'd like to say hello to Mute from Oakland. Welcome to KPFA.
Hi. I don't know if I should be regarding these questions to you guys, but I want to know what is the board, KPFA, and Pacifica are doing to provide more programs for young people. I remember you guys used to have youth radio on Saturday morning, but for some reason went out of air. So I want to know, if you guys can answer what are Pacifica and KPFA are doing to provide shows for young people and bring their consciousness. Thank you.
Brian, you want to take that?
Well, I guess the short answer is that the local boards in particular, and less so, but also the national board, don't really get into the nitty-gritty of what programs should be on the air or come up with program concepts themselves. What they do broadly is make decisions about institutional priorities. So they might give guidance to management, for instance, that they'd like to see proposals developed for youth-oriented programs. Or during budgeting time, they might set some money aside for that kind of thing. Programming in and of itself is not really something we've taken up on KPFA's local station board. The national board has had a couple of initiatives, but none that I'm aware of that had to do with youth programming in particular. A lot of the programming gets put together on the initiative of volunteers who work in the radio stations. About 60% of what you hear on KPFA's air is produced by people who receive no pay for their efforts here at KPFA. And the rest, usually one-time specials, coverage of breaking events, is usually thrown together by a combination of management and the paid staff here at the station.
I'd like to also add that I think it's really a shame. I'm in total agreement with you, Mute, that it's really a shame that youth radio is no longer on the air. I think that's been an invaluable program that's been around for quite some time now, and really well put together. In terms of the staff, you know, I think as we're talking about the board and what we can and cannot do something about, you know, we do have some issues that are coming up, and we have a program council that is not formally recognized by the interim management at this station, unfortunately, even though they are functioning. And we have an unpaid staff, although we have unpaid staff that is the majority of the staff, and they work endless hours for no pay, as Brian just pointed out. Their unpaid staff organization is also not recognized by management, although we certainly hope that will change soon. So we have some troubles here. And we need some good board members to run and to people who are looking and voting to really look into where people stand on these sides of the issues.
And I would like to add that the one of the things the board can do to address this question is to look at the technological fixes that are now opening themselves up. Can we use high definition radio to split our signal and therefore increase the number of broadcast hours available? Can we do streaming over the internet, etc.? There are a lot of new options open to us, and this is one of the things that the board does. Is it stays on top of technological developments.
That's true, but I don't think a technological fix is going to help us have a simulated union for the unpaid staff here at the station recognized by management. I think we have some more callers coming up. Isn't that right, Brian?
Yeah, I'll just say, Mute, by way of forward promotion, that the local station board has a weekly show where we're meant to talk about what the board isn't doing in order to be accountable to you, and that's coming up this Monday at 1 p.m. If you want to tune in then and talk to a broader range of your representatives on KPFA's board about their positions on various things. Our next caller is Sheila in Belmont. Hello, Sheila.
Hi. Yes, I'm a long, long time listener of KPFA, and I love KPFA. Unfortunately, one of my very favorite persons was Larry Bensky, and I've been very, very sad that he's not there. I really, just kind of listening between the lines, did not think his being 70 was the whole reason. And one of the things that he said, and of course, you know, just being a listener and not there to know what's really happening, you have to kind of read between the lines, and I know no one likes to be criticized. He talked about an imaginary audience that you were trying to appeal to, loss of income and loss of listeners. And I just wondered, as I say, I know nobody likes to be criticized, but I wonder if anybody, and whatever they were, if anybody listened to his criticisms, because it just seems to me with what's happening in our country now, this is not the time the KPFA should be losing listeners. I mean, I'm greatly indebted to KPFA, and I was very surprised that. And so I don't expect you to rehash this over there, but I just wondered if anybody had, you know, sat down with Larry and listened to whatever his complaints were.
Yeah, I have. I mean, Larry has very good criticisms. Solutions are harder to come by.
Oh, okay. I can appreciate that.
And some of the criticisms you have to put in context. I don't think anyone involved in KPFA would dispute the fact that we should be reaching more people we are, particularly with the signal strength we have. KPFA's listenership has more or less been flat for the last several years. It hasn't really declined, or the decline has been insignificant. In the context of radio as a whole, which has been losing listeners hand over fist, particularly because commercial consolidation of most of the spectrum has really limited people's choices there and driven them to their iPods and CD players and other options, holding steady is not the worst performance benchmark. Again, something we should probably be doing better on, but there you go.
I think I have, you know, I would agree with that, and also expand it to say that we're living in the progressive capital of the country, and there are many of us who are hungry and thirsty for getting our information, you know, over the radio and in one place. And I agree that the internet has changed things, but one of the things that's changed, it takes a whole lot more time, I think, to check out a bunch of different resources. It would sure be nice to be able to have that radio on, whether it's at times when you're working in the background or not and you're not really focused on it, but it's there, and then you hear something and it grabs your interest. That was really filling us in on the news and information that is not available elsewhere. And if we don't have the audience here, it doesn't exist anywhere in the world, just about. Well, I shouldn't speak of the world. I think that there are places in the world that are quite different from the U.S. in terms of their news and information. But in any event, I would think that we should be able to do that here. And that is certainly my vision, is to have, you know, an expanded audience base.
Yeah. And one of Larry's frustrations was what he perceived as a lack of commitment on Pacifica's part to restoring its national programming presence. And that's something the boards do weigh in on, where resources get allocated and so forth. So a reason to run, or something to look at when you're looking through candidates. Any other questions, Sheila?
Just let me mention that if you're not up to running for the board and serving on the board, you certainly can come to the board meetings and offer public comment for consideration.
Good point. Our next caller is Annie in Marin. Welcome, Annie.
Hello? Hello?
You're on the air.
Yeah, this is Danny. You know, I think the most egregious flaw with KPFA is really not allowing many community calls. I mean, the commercial radio in the Bay Area has many more community callers per day than KPFA does. So, you know, I don't know how people there reconcile that. I mean, and, you know, I mean, nobody wants to get fired or displaced over there, but one place, I mean, we all love music, but you guys run a lot of time on music, which, you know, people can get the internet, I mean, so many places now, and we can't, but we don't have access to all the community wisdom, and I don't mean just to rant, we don't need any more just ranting about all the problems, but community access to the people calling up for solutions.
So you're talking about having more talk shows with call-ins?
Correct. I mean, the programs you have, it's good you have a good guest, and then for an hour on some of these programs, and then at the very end, you know, you take that, you know, 10 of or 5 of, they take 2 or 3 callers or something.
Well, I hope we're doing a good job in terms of taking callers today.
Well, right, but only on this one topic, and I'm talking about, like, open talk radio that, I mean, I know you did that pretty much for the hour today, but what other programs take callers for, you know, that amount of time for, you know, like commercial radio, does it practically, you know, all day long kind of thing?
Right. Well, there's a reason commercial radio does it all day long. They made a decision a long time ago that if you could target a very specific segment of your audience, you could jack up your prices for advertisers who are interested in reaching just those people, which is why you have all jazz and nothing but jazz stations, all talk and nothing but talk stations, all soft rock and nothing but soft rock stations. And Pacifica, it's actually in our founding mission statement and in our bylaws, is committed to having a mix of public affairs, news, music, arts, and culture on our air. So as Casey Peters mentioned, we're an eclectic format station. Where you balance those different things, always a subject of some debate. But in terms of programs where they regularly take calls and you can participate, Living Room, which is in this time slot on Thursday and Friday, almost always takes calls. That's with Chris Welch. She also takes them Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 a.m. Sunday with Peter Laufer from 9 to 11 a.m. frequently takes calls. You will often hear call-ins on the morning show, depending on the segment they're doing and how much time they have for it. That's from 7 to 8 p.m. Those tend to be in more constrained time slots, but they value taking callers. And that's the most listened to local period of time on our airwaves. So.
Well, right. But you just sort of struggled to find the times. I mean, not much time out of the 24 hours that the community, you know, for a listener station, for a community station to have the voices and their wisdom, you know, expressed about the world and the community, the local and the global community.
Well, I have to apologize for not having our whole schedule memorized. Friday Night Vibe with T Cash also takes calls. A lot of the specials we've been running on Saturday mornings have also taken calls. Sasha, you wanted to add something?
Well, yes, I wanted to say I think that you bring up a really interesting issue, Danny, and it is kind of like how do you... I think in some sense we're trying to be a little of something for everyone. And how, you know, we can't be every... And I think that's an interesting question to ask. I myself sometimes find that I don't listen to something that I would like to because it's on at a precise hour and there's not a whole... You know, I don't like the things that are before and after it. And so I miss it completely altogether because there isn't the kind of continuity that interests me as an example. But it's, again, it's the being, you know, a little bit of this for you, a little bit of that for me sort of situation. I think we are beginning to run out of time and that we really want to encourage people to sign up and become a member. Your deadline for that
is thanks a lot.
Really coming up. Thank you. Your deadline for that is really coming up. I'll let Casey remind us of our deadlines, and I would like to invite everybody to listen to next Monday at 1 p.m. for the LSB show, which I'll be co-hosting with Annie Hallett, another listener representative board member, and we are going to be talking about the unpaid staff organization and the program council, which is the unit that helps guide some programming decisions. So you might want to listen in for that.
Yes, allow me to mention a couple of deadlines that are coming up.
45 seconds.
First and foremost is August 31st. It's the date of record for membership. So if you have sent in $25 or more between September 1st, 2006, and August 31st of this year, then you will be considered a voting member. That's $25 or more or 3 hours or more of volunteer time. And then September 25th is the deadline for actually becoming a candidate for the board. You can get more information by going to pacificafoundation.org/elections. And feel free to email your local election supervisor at votekpfa@gmail.com.
And if you want to give that $25 to earn voting rights at KPFA, you can do so at kpfa.org. If you want more information on becoming a candidate at KPFA, you can also get that at kpfa.org. I am Brian Edwards-Tieker. With me in KPFA's studio has been Sasha Futron, a listener-elected member of KPFA's local station board. With us by telephone has been Casey Peters, Pacifica's National Election Supervisor, by phone from Los Angeles. Thanks for being with us, Casey.
Thank you, Brian and Sasha, for all the work you've done on the board and for the Pacifica Foundation.
And you are listening to KPFA, KPFB in Berkeley, KFCF in Fresno. Against the Grain will be back at its regular time next week.